Just got a text that our kids are headed home a little early. We've got two van loads and a couple of kids weren't feeling too well this morning. So if you're the parent, you've already been notified and know who those are. So if you haven't heard, it's not your child, but remember them as they'll be getting home a little bit earlier than planned. Bruce Larson, in a book entitled Wind and Fire, points out some interesting facts about sandhill cranes, a very large, elegant bird that migrates annually, as do many of the birds. And he says that these large birds fly great distances across continents, and they have three remarkable qualities. First of all, they rotate leadership. No bird stays out front all the time. Second, they choose leaders who can handle the turbulence of being a leader. And then third, all during the time one bird is leading, the rest are honking their affirmation and encouragements. Sounds like a pretty good model for the church, doesn't it? We need leaders who can handle turbulence and who are aware that leadership ought to be shared. As you look in your bulletin this morning, you're going to see a list now of 20 men who will be serving this congregation as deacons. And of course, that doubles the number that we had, and that is such a wonderful thing. And we'll be announcing these names this morning. You know, we read of a real need for service within the church from a very early stage. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 6. Acts, the 6th chapter, we read here of the need for deacons. Of course, we could go to other parts of the Scripture and find the qualifications that these men should possess, and you've probably done that. I know we have over the years and in times past. But there was certainly a need here in Acts, the 6th chapter. It says, in those days, beginning in verse 1, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained that the Hebraic Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Here we see that the church was growing. It was multiplying. It was increasing. There were needs, things that had to be taken care of. God was blessing this church. God has blessed Sunset over the years in many ways, and we need to give God the glory in all that we do. We've been blessed with growth over the years, different opportunities, different ways to serve. We have a book there on the back table that you can look at in our Welcome Center. Pick up a copy of that. We've mentioned it before, but it's ministry opportunities here at Sunset. We need folks that can take care of these different ministries and see that they're taken care of. James was a part of this. He served there in Jerusalem and would later write in his book, chapter 1, verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. He wrote from experience as well as inspiration. God is giving us more this morning. God is trusting us with more this morning, more men to serve. And this morning I'd like to share with you just 4 very simple qualities of Christian service. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not one of the deacons that's going to be listed, so I can kind of go ahead and tune out at this point. The good thing about this is these are qualities of Christian service. Everyone that is sitting here this morning, we need to realize how blessed we are. And if you want to be a part of a church that takes following Christ seriously, then welcome this morning. If you're looking for a comfortable pew where you can clock in on Sundays and then disappear until the next Sunday, let me challenge you this morning. Thank you so much for being here, but this is only the surface. We are to come together as a body of believers. This is where we come together to worship, where we're edified, where we're built up. But this is the beginning, and service really starts once we leave this building in so many different areas. We must not neglect our widows or the needy or the weak. We must not neglect our missionaries or our local outreach to this community. We must not neglect our worship and the quality of our services and facilities. We must not neglect our youth and the needs of our young families. We must not neglect our personal spiritual growth as individual members of Christ's body. There are many works of service that the Lord's church has to do. And these works are not just the preacher's job, not just the elder's job, not just the deacon's job. We're to serve each and every day. And these must be handled in an organized manner by those whom have the wisdom and the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a part of a church that takes following Jesus seriously, then this is the type of service we should be looking for. You know, Jesus didn't pay in blood so that you and I could live in ease. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could see how to carry ours. We're to serve like Jesus served. Four qualities of Christian service. Number one, serving with humility. The key word here is serving. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you have to be servant of all. Knowing one of the disputes between the disciples over who was greatest, Matthew records Jesus' words in chapter 20. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yes, the work of a deacon is to serve. We have men standing at the back, men that we're going to announce here in just a few moments. That's the duty. But of course, we all have that right and that responsibility. Serving with humility. Servants are humble. They're not full of themselves. They don't seek to promote themselves. They only seek to serve their master. And too many times people want glory just for themselves. We see that, of course, in this country. But James tells us in James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Think about a full moon. You go out on a dark night and you see that moon and it's glowing. And it's providing some light there in that night. But it's only because it reflects the sun. Humility is when we reflect the light and glory of the Son of God in how we live because we want to become like Him. Serve like Jesus served. Deacons should be men who are serving with humility. They should also be men who are guided by priority. Jesus said in Matthew 6, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Deacons should know what's really important and what's secondary. Christians should know what's important. As we serve, are we being guided by priority? There was the story not long back of a man who claimed to be the number one NBA fan. He made pro basketball his top priority. And he was recorded as saying in one of the nationally known sports magazines, he said, April and May are not only my favorite months because of the NBA playoffs, but they are my credit card company's favorite months also. I'll bet the credit card people think we celebrate Christmas in May instead of December at our house. Airline tickets, motel rooms, playoff tickets, meals, all of it adds up in a hurry. But quite frankly, Christmas for me can't hold a candle to the NBA playoffs. Sometimes our priorities get a little bit out of whack, do they not? Sports are fine. That's a good thing. It can be a diversion. But say the most important thing to me is the NBA playoffs. You know, when we choose our priorities, we're arranging things in a matter of importance. A deacon should be a man whose bank account and schedule shows the kingdom of God as a priority. A Christian should be a person who shows that same thing as well. A deacon should be a man who's serving with humility, guided by priority, and influenced by maturity. Spiritually mature. We're all striving for that, are we not? We read about babes in Christ, but we get beyond that. We desire the meat of the Word. Bill Hybels wrote a book entitled Becoming a Contagious Christian. I don't want to share just a paragraph of that. Think about your life, how you're influencing others. He says in that book, recently I saw a letter written by a relatively new Christian to the person whose life had influenced her so greatly. She actually lists about a dozen qualities she found contagious in the life of this older Christian. Listen to some of what she wrote. You know, when we met, I began to discover a new vulnerability, a warmth, and a lack of pretense that impressed me. I saw in you a thriving spirit, no signs of internal stagnation anywhere. I could tell you were a growing person, and I liked that. I saw you had a strong self-esteem, not based on the fluff of self-help books, but on something a whole lot deeper. I saw that you lived by convictions and priorities and not just by convenience, selfish pleasure, and financial gain. And I'd never met anyone like that before. I felt a depth of love and concern as you listened to me and didn't judge me. You tried to understand me. You sympathized and you celebrated with me. You demonstrated kindness and generosity, and not just in me, but to other people as well. And you stood for something. You were willing to go against the grain of society and follow what you believed to be true, no matter what people said and no matter how much it cost you. And for those reasons and a whole host of others, I found myself really wanting what you had. Now that I've become a Christian, I wanted to write to tell you I'm grateful beyond words for how you lived out your Christian life in front of me. Are we living that life? Are we serving others? Do they see something in us that draws them and they want to know what that is? It's not us, it's Christ living in us. Serving as Christians with humility, guided by priority, influenced by maturity, and finally, walking with integrity. Integrity is the wholeness, the uprightness, the honesty or soundness of moral principle and character. It's an undivided or unbroken completeness of totality with nothing wanted. The story was once shared, supposedly a true story about a minister who lived in Texas. And it was a day after his regular office hours. He was rushing around. He had to get to the mall to buy some items and then get to his daughter's school to pick her up and then get back to the church office later that evening for some counseling. So he was in a hurry. He was busy. And once in the mall, he saw an advertisement on a music store window that said 2 CDs for $9.99. He loved music. He wanted to take advantage of that sale. So he picked up the CDs he wanted, hurriedly went to the cash register. The young lady at the cash register rung him up, and he headed to the car. It was when he finally got to the car that he looked at his receipt, and he noticed that he had been charged $1.99 instead of $9.99. Well, he was in such a hurry, but he knew he must go back in. So he went back in to get it fixed. He went up to the register, had to wait in line. When he got to the register, he said, "Ma'am, you made a mistake. You didn't charge me enough." She said, "Sir, I didn't make a mistake." He said, "Sure you did. There's the sign. Here's the receipt. Please make the correction." "No, sir, I didn't make a mistake." "What do you mean?" She said, "Can I tell you the rest of the story? Will you let me finish, please?" He said, "Go ahead." She said, "For 17 years I've been out of church, and recently my life has been falling apart, and I needed to get back to church. I looked around at what was closest to me, And I found the name of the church, and I went there just this past Sunday. And I slipped in and sat on the back row. The minister that day was speaking on integrity. Sir, it happened to be your church. And when I saw you in my line, I wondered if it was something that you just preached on Sunday or you lived on Monday. And I determined to find out. Then she said, sir, I don't even know the right questions to ask, but I know whatever you've got, I need. And she began to cry. Now, is that integrity? Doing the right thing? Living the right way, day in and day out? We're all servants. Serve with humility, guided by priorities, influenced by maturity, and walking with integrity. Now let's close this morning back at our text. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own. And I want to close this morning eager to do what is good. Does that describe you this morning? We've got men that are going to be serving us. They're eager to do what is good, but we're all in this together. Are you excited to serve this morning? Hopefully that answer is yes. Maybe something's going on in your life and you'd like prayers this morning. If we can assist you in any way, the Lord's invitation is open. Won't you come as we stand and sing?